This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Mira Sivasodi. In our health segment today, Paul Jay, consultant clinical psychologist, in the studio with us for his monthly show. Welcome, Paul. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
You wanted to talk about this interesting topic of sensory deprivation.
That's right.
And you wanted to go through visual first and then to go through hearing after. Why, Paul? Why did you think that in terms of psychology that we should, understand how this actually works?
I work with a lot of people who get older, people who develop all kinds of neurological deficits as well, and they go through various stages of what we call impairments, disabilities, and handicaps. Impairment is almost a structural issue. You have a broken arm, that's an impairment. You're losing your vision, it becomes an impairment. But as a result of your impairment, you are disabled. You're not as able as somebody else. And as a result of that, you are at a disadvantage, and now you're handicapped. So we have different stages of this thing called impairment, disability, and handicap. And I think many people don't understand the relevance of these things. And the best way to actually understand this is to work with people and understand, befriend people who have various kinds of sensory deficits.
Mm-hmm. And you obviously have worked with a lot of people.
Yeah, I've got all kinds of sensory deficits too.
I know.
My senses, serious question, often said so. But no, yes, we work with a lot of people who develop sensory deficits as a result of aging, head injuries, stroke victims, motor vehicle accidents, things like that. People who have abused drugs too, they develop all kinds of senses, deficits in their senses, especially the sight, hearing, touch, smell, and taste.
Okay. So today joining us is Lo Kong King. He is better known as KK. He's actually 57 years of age, and KK has actually, he lost his sight at the very young age of seven back in the day. You have a very interesting story to share with us, KK, and thank you for joining us today. How are you today?
Fine, thank you.
Okay. Paul's going to give you a very difficult time, but I'm here, so don't worry about it.
Okay, feel free to jump in anytime, okay?
Yes, sure. And based on what you want to see. You want to just share your journey with us, KK? I mean, I know you lost your sight at the age of seven, but how did that happen? And, how did life progress after that?
I became blind when I was seven due to virus attack on my optic nerves. I was subsequently a relative recommended me to the St. Nicholas Home for the Blind.
The one in Penang?
The one in Penang.
That's right.
So what happened is, and so happened, when I became blind, the event 1969 broke.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so... So, in actual fact, I was due to report to St. Nicholas.
Right.
But because of that, my parents was too protective. So, they kept me for another year.
Where's your hometown?
Perlis.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Okay.
So, they kept me for another year. So, I missed out, in a way, I missed out 1 year of early training.
KK, you didn't suddenly wake up blind one day, right?
No.
So, you started going blind.
Yes.
And what did that feel like to you as you started losing your vision?
It is gradual. Beginning, I can see distortion.
Okay.
Things crooked. Trees became, instead of straight, became crooked.
Right.
And there's distortion. So it's gradual. And when I was 7 years old, I believe... I'm still young.
Right.
So it is much easier for a young child turning blind to adapt as compared to an adult blind.
Hey, listen, you're 52 now. You've been through
57.
You look 52, okay? Listen, but you've been through so many years of blindness. At seven, losing your blindness is an amazing thing. What did you go through? I mean, did you feel depressed? Were you sad?
I mean, the day that, you completely couldn't see anymore, were you not afraid?
Frankly, no. Because it was gradual. When I entered St. Nicholas, I still can see shadows, light perception. I can see light. I can still see colors. So it was very gradual. So it is much easier for me to adapt to the blindness world.
What was your biggest challenge at the time of being at home first? You know, during the whole 69 crisis, you were at home, you didn't move off. How did you adjust at home? You're already getting blind.
The time was I would say it's a bit difficult because my parents is very protective. They wouldn't allow me to go out of the house. So I'm being confined in the house. Practically everything in the house, whatever you need to do, do it in the house.
I mean,
and during the time there isn't, you know, in a small hometown, we do not have television, nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit difficult.
What did you do in the end? How did you keep yourself occupied?
I rather just got to sneak out. That time, I remember my parents, my father, he raised his goats.
Goats, as in kambing?
Kambing.
Okay, okay.
So all my brothers, after school, they're supposed to take care of the goats. So what I did when my father's not around, I just follow them.
Oh,
right.
And your brother's older or younger?
Some of them are younger, some of them are older than me.
Okay. Paul, you know, as parents, sometimes when this happens, you will tend to be overprotective
yes.
of the child.
Yeah, we see it in cases like childhood asthma, even children with problems with their limbs. You tend to be overprotective. And it is a good thing. It's a good thing to be protective. But if you become overprotective, you sort of deprive them from early stimulation in other forms. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, we're talking so many years ago now, in the 1968, 67 crisis time, when there was not enough knowledge about even blindness then.
Correct.
Exactly.
The only hope was St. Nicholas in school at that time. There wasn't even a Malaysian association, I think.
What about family members, neighbors, you know, the community? How did they take to, you know, your losing your sight?
I was confined at home, so some of them, those that came to my house, they are aware that I became blind. Many of them, they are not aware.
Did they offer sympathy, or did you feel that they were treating you differently?
Well, behind me, they call me names.
Like what? Like what?
In Chinese, they call it blind snake.
Really? So you've got the snake element to it. It means it's something bad.
But you were so young. How did you take to it?
Well, I mean, sad, obviously. I mean, still, you know, you feel sad. I mean, they call you names.
Did you call them back names?
No, I think in my email, I say I'm an introvert.
Yes, yeah. You are.
So I don't know how to fight back.
Okay, all right.
Well, you certainly have fought back. You're alive today, you're working, you got family, you're on radio. Man, that's havoc.
Yeah. So after St. Nicholas, you came to Kuala Lumpur, I understand?
Yes.
To St. John's Institution.
St. John's Institution for my secondary studies.
And in Braille?
In Braille, yes, everything. Textbooks in Braille, my classwork all in Braille. But I joined the normal class as usual.
Okay.
So you were in a class with people?
Normal students.
Right. And
We call them normal, but many of them are abnormal. You know, you're talking about the trees that were crooked. We still have the people who are even more crooked now. So that crooked thing is still there.
But being in a class with, you know, typically developing children who were, you know, had sight and everything, how did you fit in?
I think I did all right.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them also a bit nasty. There are others that is very helpful.
Did the school take action against those who were nasty and rude?
No, I mean, during our days, I think I think we can take those things.
Oh, I see. You know? So you just tolerated it.
Yeah.
Thick skin, lah. You develop thick skin.
I mean, you have to, lah, because we are blind, number one.
Mm.
In order to survive, we got to be in the world, you know. To join them, whatever they do, we just join them.
This, what kind of, tell us the biggest accident you had in secondary school as a blind person. What kind of accident? I mean, did you trip over a chair or a table? Or I mean, did they pull pranks on you?
The, what I call, I got a student, this is a prank.
Okay.
A student gave me a biscuit.
Right.
Which was eaten by somebody else.
Okay.
So I bit on it.
Right.
After that, they told me it's eaten.
Right, right.
It's a prank. So how do you feel? I mean, obviously, you feel very angry. Being blind, you cannot see. But on the other hand, they are having fun time. So you got to accept it.
Yeah, this is one of the things I get very annoyed with in terms of the English language. I mean, they were having joy and making fun out of people who were senseless. But the real senseless ones were the people who were sighted in that time. You know, mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Did you find that your other senses became sharper?
Obviously,
mm-hmm.
Our sense of smell, sense of hearing.
They say that the human nose can only have a few thousand smells. How many have you developed, man?
Oh,
give me an example of what you can smell that you think we can't.
I think we... Everything... I believe that all of us can smell.
Right.
Then again, I got one or two friends who is blind,
right,
who also cannot smell.
That's right. There is another ailment where they lose the sense of smell as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Then I got a few blind friends that also cannot taste.
Right.
Whatever they eat, they cannot taste.
That's right.
Sweet, sour, nothing. They are... I mean, when we develop this, our sense of smell or hearing, it does help a lot. You know, for instance, when we were in St. Nicholas home, we have a very strict teacher.
Uh-huh.
Very strict.
Okay.
No nonsense.
Discipline teacher or subject?
He's a subject teacher.
Okay.
You cannot talk in the class. So what happened is this teacher uses perfume.
Right.
So whenever we smell the perfume, we know that the teacher is there.
Around.
So we better keep
that. That must be really strong perfume. When you obviously could see for 7 years,
yes.
What do you remember?
What do I remember? I remember colors. I remember those things that I have seen.
What is your most favorite memory? Sighted memory? You're thinking through the years, huh?
Yeah. I suppose having... rumble with neighbors. What we did was in kampung, you know, we used those
like these cowboys and Indians and police and thieves.
Yes, yes.
Rambo, yes, Rambo is in ta-ta, dish, and all that kind of stuff.
I'm just so pleased you're here, Paul, because I have no idea what that is.
You know, we in kampung we used those bamboo. Hollow bamboos.
That's yes. Right.
Then we stick
things inside and blow.
Things inside and blow.
You're a naughty fella, huh?
Yeah, those are those things. And opposite is a police station.
All right.
This side is a group of us, my brothers, my cousins. So what we did was, some of my brothers, what they did was they put nails inside.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's very bad.
Yeah.
So it hit one of the policemen's child. Across. So there was havoc, it was real havoc.
And you remember that?
Yeah, I remember
I'm
that.
I'm sure. So when now, KK, when you walk into a place, for an example, you walked into our office, what runs in your head? What runs in your mind? And I understand you listen to BFM.
Yes.
Okay.
I subscribe to podcasts.
Fantastic.
So I follow George Lee.
This side.
He will be honored.
Yeah, he'll be very honored, but you're lucky you don't have to see him. You know? The guy is another kettle of fish altogether. You heard that, George?
George is looking hot now, by the way.
But he's very jovial.
He is. Yes, very, he is, very. Absolutely.
So I like many of the programs here.
Okay. But when you walked into the office,
how did you make sense of the office? Was it smells, sounds?
Sound, mainly sound. I can recognize Uma outside there.
Oh, yeah.
he's loud, that's why.
Yeah. I can recognize Ezra outside there. When I came in, the first thing I came in.
Right. So your memory for sounds, your audio memory is heightened for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, audio, olfaction, the smell, memory.
In a way, we are forced to use our memory, our sense of smell, sense of hearing.
Right. This. How about your touch? When you feel someone's face, you know, do you actually feel faces to recognize whether? Can you tell whether I'm handsome or not by touching me? Don't answer that question.
I was just saying, don't touch his
for
face.
For me, I don't see any difference.
Okay. So I like the way you use the word see. I don't see any difference. Yeah.
As I said, in front of a blind person, the word blind, the word see, it's not a taboo.
Good. Is that normal for all blind people, or is it especially you and your philosophy?
No, it's normal for the blind people.
It's normal.
Yes, it's normal.
Okay. All right. We'll come back more and find out about KK and his life. We haven't come through to his experience in St. John's Institution, as well as after that you did STPM, I understand, and then this is your third job that you're on, and I really want to know how KK met his wife.
I got some questions there.
Yes. We'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question, give us a call. The phone lines are open. It's 03-77-109-000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. In our Health and Living segment today, we have Paul Jay, consultant clinical psychologist. And joining us also is Lo Keng Kin. He, better known as KK. KK is actually visually impaired. He lost his sight at the age of 7. It's been 50 years now, KK. And we're finding out his life journey and sort of the psychology of, losing your sight and what life is like after that. Just now, you were talking about St. John's Institution where, you did secondary school, KK, after which I understand you did your Form 6, but you didn't get a place in university.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, what did you do after that?
Immediately, I go for a telephony training. It was I have two options. One is run by MAB,
Malaysian
Association for the Blind. The course takes about 1 year.
Okay. What do you do in this first course?
The second option was to go private, private institution.
Right.
That will only take me 1 month. So what I did was I opted to go for the private institution.
What did it cost then?
It's about 300 ringgit.
Okay. And now?
Now, I'm not sure whether they is it. That institute exists or not, also, I'm not very sure.
Okay. So you went for the course?
I went for the course. It took me, after that, I started looking for a job. It took me about 2 years to get my first job.
What did you learn in the course? What did you learn to do? What skill?
Answer calls, take down messages, the etiquette of a telephone operator, mm-hmm. Those things.
I think you should train a lot of people today. I think we don't know what phone etiquette is really all about anymore. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. Did you do any training?
What do you mean, training?
Training people how to, like etiquette over the phone, communication skills.
Oh, no.
No?
Currently, MAB, in MAB, Malaysian Association for the Blind, they're still having this telephone operator course for the blind.
Right.
But do you not think that, you know, people who are blind can do much more than just, you know, go into being telephone operators?
During my days, I came out from school in the 80s. The job scope for the blind is very limited. Mm-hmm. Telephone operator, stenographer.
Right.
Piano tuning.
Ah, yes, of course.
Massage.
Right.
Those options only we have. Of course, nowadays, there are so many options. Teaching, lecturing. Like me, I'm doing administrative work in Help University.
Oh, wonderful. What do you do exactly?
I'm in the Student Affairs Department.
Oh.
I take care of the all the clubs' matters in Help.
Wonderful. So is there a club for the visually impaired?
No. I mean, Help University, currently there are 50, we have 58 clubs.
Wow.
So I got to manage all the clubs.
So you are, you know, used to using computers and things like that?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, now they've got a lot of voice-operated computer systems, haven't they?
Those computers are normal computers. We just install a software.
Right.
Known as job access with speech.
Right.
Which is very expensive. It's about 3,000 ringgit to get the software.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you can even scroll down with your voice and all that, isn't it?
Yes.
That's right.
Nowadays is very much easier for a blind person to get, I mean, not to say get a job, with this assisted technology,
mm-hmm.
We can do many things.
Now, you said that you described yourself as an introvert.
Yeah.
But just now off air, you said there are times when you actually speak up. Tell us when you do that.
When it concerns the when anything affects the blind, I will speak up. In 2011, when the parliament they had this public hearing to reform the election, I went to the parliament to speak out on behalf of the blind,
mm-hmm.
To get.
Did you hold a special position when you did that?
At that time, I was in the Society of the Blind Malaysia Council.
Right.
So, in charge of accessibility. So, I went there to speak out for the rights of the blind to have people to assist us in voting. People that we can trust.
That's an amazing concept, man.
You know, not because during the time, the election commission only allowed us to bring our parents or bring our brothers, sisters.
Okay.
Knowing that many blind people in Malaysia, we do not stay with our parents.
Right.
Nor with our brothers, sisters.
Okay.
So, when it comes to voting, we either don't vote because our parents are not here, or, you know, we do not have our siblings to assist us. So that's why I spoke up for that, and the commission accepted our proposal.
Well done.
So who is allowed to assist you now?
So anybody that we can trust, it can be a friend, can be a teacher, as long as, you know, we deem that we can trust the person to assist us in voting, we can bring.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
That's congratulations, man.
Yes, well
I'm so glad to make your acquaintance. You've made a change in Malaysian politics.
And it's a big thing, right? How what else have you championed? You spoke about accessibility.
Currently, I'm sitting in the OKU Council for Transport.
Right.
Which is under the Ministry of Transport.
Mm-hmm.
We are trying to get those disabled parking.
Right.
For the blind as well. Currently, it is only open to the physically disabled.
Okay, what do you mean by disability parking for the blind? That means the passenger must be blind.
The passenger can be a blind person.
Right.
As long as a blind person, he may own a car,
right,
under his son's name or daughter's name.
Okay.
He should be entitled for a disabled parking.
Okay. Is a blind person allowed to buy a car? Is there such a law?
Currently, no.
There's no law against it.
I believe when you need a car, when you buy a car, you need a license.
Okay.
For a blind person, there is no license, driving license. So obviously, we have to use our daughter's name or a son's name.
How do you get around day-to-day work?
Public transport. We depend a lot on public transport.
Is that working for you? Can it be a lot better?
Lately, I mean, it is very useful, especially with Uber and Grab.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
In the past, when we travel by buses,
taxis,
or taxis, those buses or taxis, they refuse to stop. They refuse to let us in. Especially those public buses.
Aye.
You know, those conductors, they do not want to let you get
on
into
board,
the bus.
Yeah, that's right.
Do we know why?
There's I believe is they think that it is not safe. Sometimes it's very packed.
Right.
Especially in those days, you know, in the
minibus.
It's very packed, so they're scared, they worry about your safety. Some of them feel that they are obliged to give you free ride.
Right.
Which blind people do not expect everything free. So it's a wrong perception.
When you're asking for sympathy and
exactly.
All that. Yeah.
Like taxi drivers, they refuse to stop because they think that blind people, number one, no money to pay.
Okay.
Number two, they do not, you know, blind person do not know how to direct where to go.
Right.
So they just refuse.
I think it's more than that, Mira. Kris Kristofferson, the famous singer, one of his lyrics read this way: most of us hate anything that we don't understand.
Mm.
And that's very often the case today. Once you don't understand something, you begin to hate it, stay away from it.
Yeah. We have a question here from Yahya Zakaria via tweet. He says, this might sound a little insensitive, but Yahya is curious to know, when you dream, KK, how do you, is it in visual? How do you dream?
Dream, I mean, for me, because I can see before, until 7 years old, when I dream, I still can see visual. I can, you know, for instance, I know my parents is in the scene, or my wife is in the scene, or my friends, they are in the scene. I have the visual. So that one you need to ask a born blind person.
I see. Okay. All right. Somebody who is born blind. Okay.
Yeah. Let me explain dreams to you psychologically.
Okay.
Your dreams are a collection of memories that your brain makes. Now, the memories are not just made from vision. Any of the senses can create memories. Even memories can create memories. And when you go through this period of REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep, these senses come alive and you develop dreams. So your dreams don't always have to be visual. They can be musical. They can be aromatic. You can burst out laughing. All kinds of things happen to you.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. We'll come back and continue this discussion. We still haven't come to how KK met his wife and, you know, how his family is getting along today. That's coming up next after the market update. Once again, if you have a question or you want to speak to Paul or KK about, you know, losing or sensory deprivation, if you have indeed lost some sense, whether it's sense of smell, your taste, your hearing, you know, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109-1000. You can tweet BFM Radio or WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Good afternoon and welcome. If you have just joined us, it's our Health and Living Show. Paul Jay, consultant clinical psychologist in the studio with us, together with Loh Kong Kun, who is also better known as KK, who is visually impaired. KK lost his sight at the age of 7. It's been 50 years now. He's just sharing his journey with us. And Paul will try to help us understand the psychological side of things. I mean, so far, what would you like to, you know, what comes through from KK's story? Is it quite typical, Paul?
Some of the disadvantages he's faced are very, very typical. It is quite sad that being a modern country, we haven't caught up with disabilities and the loss of senses for everyone. However, one thing that must be made clear is that because someone has lost a sense or maybe multiple senses, it doesn't hamper the quality of life. And there's one aspect of quality of life that we would like to touch on now. The love factor, KK.
The relationship.
Tell us when you first fell in love and how. You know, he's smiling away. He's grinning.
When I first, I suppose when during our school days we had puppy love.
Okay. Which school was this? When you had puppy love?
St. Nicholas?
In St. John's.
St. John's,
okay.
Okay, when I really fell in love after finishing my studies, just got my job, first job, telephone operator.
Okay.
That's how I caught my girlfriend, now my wife.
Only one girlfriend.
Puppy love got lah.
Okay, we won't remind anyone now about the numbers.
She's partially blind.
Right.
She used to study in St. Nicholas as well.
Oh. But there's no kuchu-kuchu that time, lah.
No.
So young,
no sparks,
lah. Primary school. Yeah.
So after when I got a job, then she also working. Only we started.
Started what?
Started the courtship.
Courtship. Okay. How was courtship? How was it for you? The way you imagined it in terms of what you saw in the past as a little boy, or how different was it for you?
I think for blind, You mean compare with normal people or what?
The so-called normal people, lah. The one with sight.
We think, yeah.
I think falling in love is no difference with any, you know, any person. Do not treat blind person as an angel.
Okay. You're the devil for saying that, man.
Yeah,
okay. That's a good one. And vice versa.
Exactly. The only difference is a blind person just cannot see. That's all.
Right.
Okay. We still got feelings. We still got anger. I mean, we still have all those bitterness. All those emotions. We know how to fight back, all those things.
Right.
A blind person is not an angel. Just take it that way.
I would take it as not any different from...
Not any different.
Yeah.
Yes.
Correct.
But she was an angel, lah. The she that we're talking about.
Yes, obviously.
Did you have concerns?
I think one thing I would like to share here is... for a blind person,
right?
Okay, they are very particular about voice.
Ah, tell us something about that.
So, each time when we talk about any different sexes,
right.
A guy, we have this code called GV.
GV,
good voice.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So each time we talk about the opposite sex, we will ask, is it GV? GV.
Right,
GV
right.
is the code.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So basically, blind people, is very concerned about having good voice.
Very sensitive. You're sensitive to a good voice.
Yeah.
Does it also help you change your voice a lot more the way you express things?
No.
Same thing.
Same.
Right. So,
did you have concerns? I mean, when you were courting and then, you know, you were deciding you wanted to settle down and all of that. Were you worried in any way?
No.
Weren't you worried about where you live, the house? Was it a sheltered home, modified home?
For a blind person, as compared to a physically disabled, I think our needs is not... so drastic, so much, you know, different from a normal person.
Now, I think this is what I would consider that a very humble statement, yet a very real one as well, because you're seeing your loss of sight as a real thing, not as a physical disability.
True. The only thing we need to do is, you know, how we position the furniture at home, those things that, you know, can cause you hurt. You just do not put it on the way. Have discipline in, putting the things that you take from.
Putting back in the same place.
Same place. You do not... many times talking about... removing things. Nowadays, I got 3 children. Each time I put the things this way, then my children will put it another way. Then I got trouble, hard time of finding it again.
You're not the only one, KK. I have a big problem with that as well.
Oh, we have problems with adults that too.
I have no idea why people can't put things back in the same place.
Tell us about your kids. At what age did you and your wife have... Give us your wife's name.
Chia Kam Lin.
Hi, Kam Lin.
Okay.
Thank you for marrying this man.
Yes.
He's brilliant.
My wife is a very good cook.
Oh, la la.
Wow.
She bakes very good cookies as well as cupcakes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And...
your children?
Children, yes.
My children... I got 2 daughters...
How old are they?
Eldest is 28.
Right.
Currently, she's working with the Early Autism Project.
That's right.
She's a therapist there.
Oh, wow. Great.
Funny, because her parents is blind.
Right.
When she was young, I exposed her to the blind community.
Okay.
I bring her to the, what I call, our blood, the programs, the events that we have.
Okay.
In the blind community.
Right.
But when she grows up, she prefers to work with the autistic.
Okay. Yes. She's of full vision, fully sighted?
Currently, yes.
Okay. Why do you say currently?
When she was born, she had this congenital cataract.
Right.
Which is hereditary.
Yeah. Hereditary, right.
Passed on by my wife.
Okay.
My wife also has the same case.
Okay.
It is fortunate that during the late 1980s, early 90s, our medical field is very advanced. Mm-hmm. So she was operated on, her lens was removed,
right.
And she, at the age of 13, got this artificial lens implant.
Right.
And your other two children?
Second one was a son, 24 years old.
Okay.
Currently, he is working in Shangri-La.
Oh.
In event management.
Okay. Is he as good looking as you are?
I think he's more handsome than me.
We'll be the judge of that.
He's taller than me.
Oh, right.
About 5'10".
Right.
Very big size. I suppose, I think he's more handsome than me.
Okay. Good. And the youngest?
My youngest is a girl, 15 years old. Currently, she's doing homeschooling.
Right. So, sitting for exams?
Yes. She's what I call, she's doing the American program.
Right, that's right.
So she will take her exam as it goes.
Yes.
American program does not have a fixed schedule for you to sit for the exam.
That's right. Now, okay. how did they deal and cope with parents who are blind? In your opinion, as far as you know.
For me, the way I see it, mm-hmm. I think they're all right with it. They do not feel shy to go out with us.
Right.
When, you know, friends ask who are they will always acknowledge that we are their parents. So I think they take it okay.
How did you cope with it?
How did I cope with it?
Three children.
Oh, early days is very difficult.
Did you have extra help at home?
No, my parents is Burmese.
Right.
As usual, you know, KL folks, you need to send it to babysitters,
right.
Those things.
Uh-huh.
So it was a bit tough in the beginning, especially monetary-wise.
In terms of your children, what is your biggest achievement in your mind today?
I still have one more daughter to go.
Oh, yes.
I'm still studying.
Right.
So I wouldn't say currently my biggest achievement. Mm-hmm. What I hope to achieve is I want to make them to be a useful citizen, contribute to the nation, do not be a parasite to the society.
Right.
I've given them the best that I can give them.
You have given them vision, my friend. You've given them something to look forward to in life. That is something nice for a man without sight to say.
No, I think being a parent, you should have this kind of vision. Otherwise, I would say this way. If you want to be a parent, if you do not have the vision or, you know, the direction how to deal with your child, I think better do not become a parent.
Okay.
That is one of the things I've often said, that when I meet people who are visually impaired, I felt as though I've been led by the blind because I'm blinded. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
And the blind can see far more than we can.
Of course. Yeah. Would you have a message for us, KK? Would you like to leave us with a message?
To the public, I mean, blindness is not the end. Okay. So should you have a child or a relative or a neighbor that lost his or her vision, especially when the person is very young, do not keep them at home. You know, expose them, register them with the JKM. Get them.
What is JKM?
Jabatan Kebajikan Malaysia.
Yes.
JKM will, you know, direct the child to an institution to get training. If adult, they will send it to a vocational training. You know, no matter what age the person is, there is always a hope. Do not give up hope.
Paul?
Thank you. My take-home message is don't become senseless. Please don't take your senses for granted. Use them well every day.
Thank you very much for joining us today. That was Paul J, consultant clinical psychologist, and KK sharing his journey with us on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.